opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, that sounded almost omnipotent there. Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Okay. Too much sunshine or?
Too much sunshine and too many lollipops. Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent and I am your host once again. Well, we'd like to thank all our sponsors. That would be all you good people of the North State who keep us on the air. Today is Sunday, May. It's not March, it's May.
You're having a hard time with dates lately.
I don't know what it is. It seems like it's all running together for some reason. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy, Bob Martin.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Today is Sunday, May 24th, 2015, and tomorrow is Memorial Day. Memorial Day. Excuse me. Okay.
Yeah, so let's not forget what that stands for.
Well, I want to read this, as we go through the weekend in remembrance for the people who died while serving this country's armed forces, take some time to contemplate their sacrifice. If not for those who fought and died for their freedom, we might be paying homage to a king, a kaiser, a Fuhrer, an emperor, or a commissar. Men and women in our military are now dying to protect us from being forced to bow to a caliphate. If there's one thing I've learned in my life, it is how precious this country truly is. Even many Western countries don't have the vibrant freedoms and liberty protections to allow watchdogs like us and the Jefferson State of Mind and many others. Our country is under stress from challenges of a lawless president, an AWOL that's absent without leave Congress, and sometimes an empirical judiciary. Man, I'll tell you. But we can hold our president accountable, vote out our Congress, and go into the courts to fight for the most powerful government in the history of the world, and if necessary, sacrifice our own lives, fortunes, and sacred honor in the defense of liberty. Again, this is a thanks to those defenders of our way of life who gave up their lives to protect us from those who would take away these God-given freedoms. It is easy for us here at Sovereign Minds to take up the defense of the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law because of those who did something much more difficult. We honor and remember them on this Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, we do.
Very good. So, with that said, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Reading Tea Party will not meet tomorrow because of Memorial Day. It'll be the first time in 5 years, I don't think.
I think so. But there's other activities for you to attend to show your support for our troops and our men and women out there.
And I'm pretty sure you're going to let us know what those are.
I am. Okay. Tomorrow at 5:55 out at the Veterans Cemetery in Igo, we will be having a ceremony to show our dedication and our support for our men and women that have given their all out there. Again, the program starts at 5:55, and I believe we'll have a flyover, and there should be a lot of good things happening. And then at 11 at Anderson Cemetery tomorrow, you can show your support there as well. And then on May 30th at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Center, they will be having ceremonies down there. So there's plenty of things to attend to show your support. Pick one or all. I know the one out at Igo Cemetery is always a very nice setting out there, and a lot of people come out and show their support out there. And We will be out there cooking for the people that are putting it on. So
you got something, Bob?
There's one other ceremony in town tomorrow at Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street. The procession starts at 9 and the program starts at 10.
So, okay, very good. Yeah. So it sounds like there's a busy Memorial weekend going on out there. We went out to the Happy Valley Strawberry Festival yesterday, and man, you can get a big pile of strawberries and ice cream and whipped cream and for $7. It was like, holy moly.
Well, before I forget, also, I want to say happy birthday to Commander Gibson out there. We celebrated his 85th birthday yesterday.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Gibson. You're a patriot, and you're a fine man.
Yes, he is.
So, with that, I think we have our guest today. I'm not sure exactly how to say his name. I'm going to probably butcher it as usual. Eric Blem. I'm hoping I got that correct. And he's got a book, a Legend, a harrowing story from the Vietnam War of one Green Beret's historic mission to rescue Special Forces team's a Special Forces team caught behind enemy lines. And so it sounds like he has seen some things that a lot of us will never see, and hopefully.
Yeah, this was during the Vietnam era. So yes. During the war, actually, I should say.
Yeah, the Vietnam War. And so. His book is an unforgettable account and of the courageous action of the U.S. Army's 240th Assault Helicopter Company and Green Beret Staff Sergeant Roy Benavides, who risked everything to rescue a Special Forces team trapped behind enemy lines. In Legend, the book, acclaimed bestselling author Eric Blem takes as his canvas the Vietnam War as seen through a single mission that occurred May 2nd, 1968. A 12-man Special Forces team had been covertly inserted into a small clearing in the jungles near neutral Cambodia, where U.S. forces were forbidden to operate. Their objective, just miles over the Vietnam border, was to collect evidence that proved the North Vietnamese Army was using the Cambodian sanctuary as a major conduit for supplying troops and materials to the south via the Ho Chi Minh Trail. What the team didn't know was that they had infiltrated a section of jungle that concealed a major enemy base. Soon they found themselves surrounded by hundreds of NVA troops, that'd be North Vietnamese Army troops, under attack, low ammunition, and stacking the bodies of the dead as cover in desperate attempt to survive the onslaught. So,
I believe we have him on the line, don't we, Bob? Good morning, Eric. Are you there?
I am here. Good morning. And while listening to your intro, I am. Thank you so much for your involvement in your community. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that very much. So, where do we start? Maybe you could give us some background, Eric, on yourself, Eric. And I'm assuming I said your name correctly as Blem.
You know, you nailed it. You didn't even mention that H in there. You didn't try and Blem, Blom, or Bloom it. Perfect. It's Eric Blem.
Very good. Very good.
It's a good day in the neighborhood.
And I guess you have quite a few other books out, too. I see we got The Last Season and
The Only Thing Worth Dying For.
Yeah, and Fearless, and good grief, you're a pretty prolific writer, it seems like.
You know, I'm trying, and that's actually a perfect segue into how I got into it on this Memorial Day weekend. After 9/11, first of all, I was born in 1968, so this mission that I write about took place the year I was born, before I was born, actually. And in my younger years and in high school, even up into high school, there was very little, if any, mention of the Vietnam War. What I learned about the Vietnam War was from books that I, you know, got from the library. My mother and father always respected the military and taught us to do so. They also had a box that they kept mementos from their childhood, World War II, and they would show me all these various artifacts and newspaper articles from D-Day to Victory in Europe Day to Victory in the Pacific. And that's what really inspired me to read about the military. Well, come 9/11, I was the editor of a snowboarding magazine. I was a journalist, and a serious journalist, but I was having fun with my job and just traveling around the world. But after 9/11, I kind of had a reevaluation, like many of us did. And I never served in the military, but I asked myself, what is your part in all this? What can you do? And I knew that history was happening around us, and at some point these men and women serving in Afghanistan and Iraq might not ever tell their story. That's what happened with a lot of the World War II and World War I veterans. They never spoke of it. And that's when I decided to change my career 180 from snowboarding and adventure journalism to honoring those who served. And that was my first two books, Fearless and The Only Thing Worth Dying For, told stories of SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown in Fearless and the Special Forces Team ODA 574 and The Only Thing Worth Dying For. They were the first Special Forces team to infiltrate the Taliban-held South with a little-known statesman named Hamid Karzai. The end of their two-and-a-half-week mission, every member of that 11-man team was either wounded or killed, and Karzai rose from virtual obscurity to become the leader of a nation, and that's what that book is about. So fast forward to now and this Vietnam-era story, these guys aren't getting any younger either. It's starting to turn to that era where they're getting older and they're dying, some of them not telling their story, and that's where I tapped into this story of Master Sergeant, at the time, Staff Sergeant Roy P. Benavidez, who heard the distress call for that team that you mentioned. He was at a base across the border in South Vietnam. A helicopter came limping back into this small base where he had a day off. In fact, he was on his way to breakfast. He had a little bottle of Tabasco sauce. He was from Texas that he kept in his pocket. He was going to put on whatever he was whatever was in the mess hall that day. That's what he was
I could so relate to that.
Yeah, exactly. A little bottle of Tabasco sauce and an 8-inch long Special Forces knife. Over at the ages, some of that knife is expanded up to 14 inches long. But it is the true length of the knife that he carried with him was about 8 inches on the blade. And this helicopter limped in, trailing smoke, and he had heard a desperate cry for help over the radio of these men that were asking for extraction or air support. They were in Cambodia, and they were surrounded. Upwards of 300 North Vietnamese Army soldiers that the forward air controller, could view from his Cessna bird dog from above. No telling how many were in the jungle, up to thousands, they estimate, and they figured that is a conservative estimate. And as his helicopter landed, the pilot was yelling for a medic. He shut off the engines. Roy ran over, and the door gunner in the back, the crew chief, a young man named Michael Craig, 20 years old, had just turned 20, was bleeding profusely from the chest where he'd been shot from ground fire while trying to extract this team. Well, he died in Roy's arms. The last thing that this young man said to Roy when he looked up at him was, "My God, my mom and dad." And he expired. He died. Roy set him down on the tarmac, and he went to another helicopter and said, "Get me in there. Let me see if I can help out." And that's the caliber of this man. About, you know, you hear about running into the fire. Well, this is running to the fire after you've seen the horrible effects of that fire right there in your arms. And he went out into this landing zone, and they could not land him. They could not get him close enough to this team that was being slaughtered. Well, he said, as they're about to pull out, "Get me as close as you can." And this helicopter pilot, brave pilot named Larry McKibben of the 240th Assault Helicopter Company, hovered at about 15 feet off the deck, about 100 yards away from that team. Roy jumped from that helicopter with a medical bag, about a bottle of Tabasco sauce, and an 8-inch knife, had forgotten his rifle or his carbine, and ran almost 100 yards, was shot once in the process, and a rocket-propelled grenade almost took him out at another time. Hit by shrapnel, shot through the leg, he finally crawled into the perimeter and put together an extraordinary defense that, as one of the survivors said, he gave us the will to fight and to live when we were ready to die. And that's the gist of the beginning, a snapshot of that story.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Kind of
don't even know what to say.
Exactly.
Where are you, silence?
It's so nice to hear stories like this, like you say, because so many of them go untold. And like you say, a lot of the men from Vietnam are getting up there in age. I mean, they're, you know, sitting around 69, 70 years old, a lot of them, and we're losing them, you know, daily. And so to have somebody out there that's putting out the stories is so wonderful to hear.
Well, I appreciate, you know, these stories that have come to me that I've uncovered and told, they're a gift. They're a gift to me, and I feel that my gift is storytelling and just deep, deep research. And by doing that research and honoring these men in history, one of the guys that I wrote about in The Only Thing We're Signed For, you go into the records and you'll find couple of the first special forces killed after 9/11 in Afghanistan were Daniel H. Pettitore and Jefferson Donald Davis. Well, I went to, before I wrote the story of their team, their captain told me I had to get the blessings of the family. And if they were willing to talk and wanted to reopen those wounds, it was 5 years after they were killed when I did that research, he said he would tell me the story. His name was Captain Jason Amory. He retired recently as a lieutenant colonel. Now, Daniel H. Pettitore's father, I went and visited him in Cheshire, Massachusetts, a little New England town in the shadows of the Berkshire Range. Tallest building in the town is the church steeple. And I met with that family over a long weekend, 3 days, and I got to know who Dan was from the day that they brought him home from the hospital until the day the honor guard came and knocked on their door and told them he had been killed in Afghanistan. I held his Purple Heart and his Silver Star in my hand. I slept in his bedroom where there was the proud but sad mementos of his life and his service. And one day, Barbara Pettitore took me out on the porch, and they had a flag hanging on an angled staff. And that flag, she would fix. She would make it drape just perfectly. And she said when Dan was deployed, she would go out every morning and do the same thing. And for her, it was like fixing his collar on the way to school. And that was when that book and all these stories I've told became a calling, because I saw what's real. And that's what people, I think, will need to remember today. When people look at that flag today, many people who have lost loved ones, they look at that flag and that's what they feel. Well, when I left that after that long weekend, Lou Pettitore shook my hand, big guy, one of those long, kind of extra long, uncomfortably long handshakes.
Right.
And he says, "Eric, I know you're going to do a great job. I see it in your eyes. I see it in your heart. But this is how you can honor my son. Tell it like it happened. Don't candy coat it. Don't dramatize it. Don't make him a hero if he's not. He believed in accountability. He knows things go wrong, especially in battle. Just tell it like it happened. That's how you can honor my son and history and the mission and his men who were either died and wounded with him." And that's kind of what I've done ever since. And that's what I've done in Legend. I've interviewed the people who were there, who saw what happened. Roy Benavidez was wounded more than 30 times in just a few hours, and he survived. He would not get on the helicopter until he got every survivor on that helicopter. Wow. He was actually holding his own intestines in one point, and there was one survivor left out in this little stand of trees that had just been blown to shreds after hours of the North Vietnamese, who had them surrounded, had given it all they could. It was napalmed, close. You know, this guy had puncture wounds from hand-to-hand combat with a bayonet. He had been butted in the face with a rifle butt of an enemy who jumped up he thought was dead. And he brought one survivor back to the helicopter. They were trying to pull him in, and he turned around while he was holding his own intestines and ran back to get the one survivor that he knew was on the ground. He was not going to leave him. And that's when he went back, and the door gunner, who I spoke to these crewmen, and I read their firsthand accounts, and he said, "I didn't think Roy was coming back. I saw what he was up against. I saw the wound he was holding his own intestines in." He came back. He threw this remaining soldier, he was a South Vietnamese ally, over his shoulder, and came back while there was, on his heels, the enemy coming out of the trees trying to take out this helicopter and this final survivor who was loading the wounded. And he got on that helicopter and it limped out of that landing zone, and it was spraying blood. There was so much carnage in the back. The survivors, bleeding was so profuse that as it took off, blood poured out of the doorways, and it was a fine mist over that Cambodian jungle is how one of the door gunners explained it, like a red mist. And then they got back and limped back to South Vietnam.
Wow. Wow, that's just unbelievable. I mean, the extraordinary bravery of some men on the field of battle, you know, over the years and so many different places in the world is, you know, something that you just can't hardly fathom unless you've actually seen it. But, you know, it sounds like the account that you're giving is pretty graphic and pretty amazing. And he did survive, though, huh?
He did survive. Believe it or not, they were actually zipping him up in a body bag. He expired, they thought, on the way back to base, on top of this pile of dead and wounded. And he was, the story begins, the first sentence in the book is, this story begins in a U.S. government-issued body bag. And I explain his wounds and what he went through. And then I go back in time and tell the story of his youth and and bring it forward so people get a really good look at why we were in Vietnam, what this mission was about, who the men are, including the men of the 240th Assault Helicopter Company. And then he's sitting there, awake, conscious, but unable to move. His eyes are crusted shut with blood. He's holding his own intestines in with his hand. It's clamped over it. And they are zipping him up. His heartbeat is so slight that they have not been able to detect it or his breathing. And then one of his buddies, he recognized the voice, is Jerry Cottingham. He says, and I'm going to use a derogatory term of the A era, but that's Benavidez, that's no damn gook. He was with the three dead, wounded enemy who Roy had thrown in his haste to not leave anybody behind, including our dead. He thought that these enemy soldiers were our allies. He threw them on board as well, and the helicopter. So they took them out and laid them out, and they put Roy, he was only 5'6". They put him next to them, and then they were zipping him up. And Roy could not do anything. His jaw was locked up. It had been broken. He'd been so exhausted from blood loss that he could not move. He was frozen. Well, he felt the medic or the doctor that came to double-check that he was indeed dead before they zipped him up, his hand on his chest. And as Roy later put it, I made the luckiest shot of my life, and he spit in the medic's face.
Wow. Wow. You know, he was operating on pure adrenaline the whole time, probably. At some point in time, it wears off. Good grief.
Exactly. So that's why this story, if you can imagine, legend. When I first heard it, I did not believe it. I went to Snopes was the first thing I did, because I'm pretty well read in that genre of special forces. I thought I read about all the crazy stories, and I had somehow missed this one. And that's what made me realize that this story needed to be told. People had heard about the story. It was the events from this top secret unit that operated in South Vietnam, SOG, the Studies and Observation Group. They had been, their information had been declassified after 30 years. So it had been out for a while, and but no one had ever told the whole story of the helicopter company, the perspective from the air and from the ground. And again, so many people in our current generation, they hear the word Ho Chi Minh Trail, they have no idea what they think it's a hiking trail. And so that is something that I just wanted to bring to the public, because it's something that I missed when I was younger. And so many people have called after, now that the book's been out, and said, you know, the story is amazing, it's the battle, all this, but what I'm getting is this snapshot of the history. I had no idea, you know, like I'd lost sight of why we were there and why we were in Cambodia and if we were justified to be there. And it was nice to be able to bring that forward, and the families of the 240th whose loved ones had been killed, and Roy's own family as well. Roy passed away in 1998. Are just so grateful that the story's been told again and in its entirety. So, like I said, it's an honor and it's a gift to tell these stories, and it really is a time in history that our men and women, when they came home, they did not have a very nice homecoming. They were called baby killers. They were, you know, all these things. And what they look at now is one of the guys at the end of the book in my epilogue, I talk about how, you know, they see the men and women being thanked. Like, complete strangers go up to people in uniform at an airport today and they thank them for their service. They're in line at Starbucks at an airport and they buy somebody in uniform with the coffee. They pay for them. All these little gestures that they never had. And they don't begrudge it. They actually feel like, you know what, we took the bullet. We took the bullet for the future generations and our current generations of warriors. That will never happen again, because ultimately those stories of shame and that they felt when they came home, when they were told to take their uniforms off when they hit American soil to avoid trouble, those days are over, and that'll never happen again.
Wow, that's a whole bunch of stuff to digest.
Yes, it is.
The book is Legend by Eric Blem. And we need to go to a break here, and then we'll come back and let's talk some more about this.
Okay, if you want to call in and have a question or comment for Eric, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Hi, this is Linda Bai. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-988-4477. That's 800-988-4477. Call 800-988-4477 today.
Howdy, folks. Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Can't I
room for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire, community radio for the North State. We let that play on a little bit because I just think, you know, Memorial Day and everything, that's a beautiful song, and, you know, we wanted that to go out there to the veterans. You know, have a nice day. So we're back here in the studio, and we're talking to Eric Blim and about his books.
Yes, and I believe we have a caller on the line. Todd, are you with us this morning? Todd, are you with us?
Good morning, Linda, Mark, and Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Say, I heard Eric, he kind of touched on it about the disrespect of our heroes that came back from Vietnam, and I was wondering about moral character, and it seems to me throughout American history we've had some people, some heroes that have fought and died for this country with questionable moral characters. You know, they've had some, but yet they're still heroes in the American history. So I was wondering, when he was doing his research, if he ran across, you know, anybody that they may have had questionable moral character, but still were heroes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Tom, that's a great question. I always, when I do my research, I go as deep as I can. I talk to people who were there and who knew these individuals. You know what they always say when people are speaking of, you know, people don't like to speak ill of the dead. And so you have to pry a little bit to really get the background of these individuals. I will tell you that the people that I have written about and I have turned away, I will tell you that there was a couple of people who I have been approached by family members, and as I did my research, found that maybe that moral character wasn't what I thought and what their buddies thought necessarily warranted a book being written about their lives. And I have actually decided not to tell some of those stories. And I'm not going to mention them now. Like I said, I'm not going to say who these people were, but more from, and these could be one from a past war and one from a more current war. The individuals I've written about, these guys were straight. I mean, first of all, I mean, what kind of a moral character? How much could have you done wrong in your life, or, you know, at that age, you know, in Vietnam especially, 19 or 20? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, you've heard about the travesties and the tragedy that occurred, including, you know, American soldiers in Vietnam and elsewhere in during war. And that does happen. And I think that in Vietnam, some of those, there are a huge minority, as opposed to the good that the American soldiers did there, came out in the media more so. Those were the stories that the media latched onto and blew up in the public eye. And that is what caused a lot of that. You know, when I talked to the guys who were there, and they start telling me the stories of what they did for the South Vietnamese and the thing where they would spend their entire paychecks to help families out in villages near them, and, you know, take their day off and get a kid into a medical unit themselves, risking their own lives to go into a village and find a kid who they heard had a chronic stomach ache and had appendicitis, and then got them back to Saigon and had the appendix removed. Things like that that you don't hear about. And so, to answer your your short question with a long answer, personally, the stories that I've written about, no, these guys had sound character and morals, and I did not hear anything in their past or from their actions that weren't completely warranted both a moral award and a valor award.
Well, there you have it. Uh-huh. I mean, I would think that would be pretty tough. I mean, you know, what if you had to research somebody like John Kerry, for example? You know,
yeah, I mean, there are plenty of, you know, there are skeletons in everybody's closet. Let me tell you this. Talk about moral character. My book, Adam Brown, about Adam Brown, Fearless.
Right.
He was, I lay it all out there. His moral character, it was part of his story. He was a young man who was a great kid in as a growing up. He was a kid who would stand up for the underdogs. There was a young boy with Down syndrome that went to his school, and his name was Richie. And one day, some guys that were quite a bit bigger than Adam Brown were picking on him. They weren't really outwardly, like, shoving or anything. I mean, who's going to do this to a kid with Down syndrome? But they were kind of backhandedly, you know, saying things like boys might do or girls that were just not very nice things. And Adam picked up on this. He went in front of these boys. He said, hey, I know what you guys are doing. He said, if you want to pick on somebody, pick on me if you think you're big enough. Well, Adam was a little guy. And he looked up at these guys, and they walked away. So I'm going to come full circle to that moment. Now, later in life, Adam, again, great kid growing up. Everybody I spoke to said, amazing kid, very polite, sir, ma'am. He was from Arkansas, very much a young gentleman. And then in college, he tried crack cocaine, and he became an addict. And he called himself he was a self-professed dirtbag, criminal, scumbag. He was stealing from his own family and friends. Ultimately, his parents did the tough love approach and had him arrested. He went to jail. He had multiple felony counts. But he got a second chance. He turned his life around. He joined the Navy. And he rose all the way he made it through SEAL BUDS training. And then all the way to the top tier of SEAL Team 6. Even with that background, because his morals and his ethics were so widely known among the SEAL teams and people who testified for him to get that top secret clearance, that they gave him a second chance. He was ultimately killed in combat in Afghanistan and protecting his teammates on a mission. Now, when his parents and his friends got his CAECO form, which is a form, that's an acronym, that tells how he would like to be buried, what his final requests were, things like that, one of the things that he said was to let people know who I was, not just as a SEAL, because intuitively he would have known if he was killed in combat, he's going to be hailed a hero. He said, don't focus on that. Let people know who I was before. And in jail, he found faith. He found the Lord. He also had a great girlfriend who stood by his side that became his wife and his family. And through his love of God, love of country, he turned his whole life around. But what does he do? One of his last requests, he said, you know what, let's let all those skeletons out of the closet. I want people to know that once upon a time I was a crack addict, and I was a scumbag, and I was in jail. But what he was doing, selfless to the end, he was telling people that, hey, you can be in your darkest place in life, in a dark hole, and that's where he was. Crack almost killed him. But he turned his life around. He climbed out of that dark place, and then he turned around, and he became a hero among the SEAL ranks.
You can rise
above. The guy who, he tells everybody that I want that. So he talked about, yeah, there was some poor moral character in the past, but he turned that around. And in certain situations, you know what? People make mistakes. And I think that this guy has inspired addicts and anything from addicts to people with mental PTSD, depression, physical ailments, physical disabilities, that they can rise above those dark hours in their life and be somebody. Well, let me just come full circle real quick. When he came back home in a casket and was buried, who do you think donated his headstone in town? Well, it ends up that boy with Down syndrome, Richie Cunningham, was still alive, and his father ran a memorial marker business. And little Richie still remembered Adam Brown from the boy standing up for him when he was just a kid some 15 years earlier.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yeah,
it is. And that's Fearless. That's my book, Fearless, and it's the story of Adam Brown. Like, they're my books, but they're their stories. And his story in particular, yeah, there you go. There's some questionable moral character in the past, but does that mean that he didn't warrant that Silver Star he ultimately got? I think so. I think he warranted it.
Well, and I think when you're in combat situations, things are different. Mentality's different. Things change. And as you get trained in that arena, I think that, you know, it stiffens your resolve in a lot of different areas, whereas before you didn't have realizations of what your spirit was about, and those kinds of things bring out the true person, I believe.
Well, I like to say also, people have to remember during Vietnam, what was the average age? 19 years old.
Yeah.
Those men.
Yeah, they were 19. And this was not the blue and the gray. This was not the Civil War where you knew who your enemy was.
Right, right.
And in those cases, you know, Roy Benavidez, he on his first tour, this was his second tour when this happened, by the way. On his first tour, he went into a village at one point and he found the South Vietnamese children hammered to the side of a barracks, and the VC had used them as target practice to let the village know, hey, you do not support the Americans. The Americans actually had built these barracks for them because they had run from their mountain area. They were from the highlands, and they had retreated from their mountain villages and come down to close to the American base because, and this is the difference, the set, I mean, we have it on paper, the set strategy of the communists to turn this country, they call it the one struggle, part of it was terrorism among the villages. We do not have that as our standard operating procedure. They did. There is a difference.
Seems like that's a common theme with a lot of the enemies that we're fighting. I mean, even going into Afghanistan, you look at, you know, Marcus Luttrell's book and what happened there. You know, it's hard to figure out who the enemy is and who's not sometimes. And then they do intimidate the local populace it seems like, on a very big scale in these countries to not help any of the forces that they're fighting. So it's
I think people should hold their judgment on people. Like we say, you know, the average age was 19. You didn't walk in those shoes.
Yeah.
You know?
You didn't, and you didn't also just watch your buddy get shot in the neck and bleed out.
Right, you know, yeah. It's pretty hard to say what you would or would not do or what choices you may make. And like you say, you don't always make, they may not have made the best choice, but that's what they had at the time.
Yeah,
they follow what the difference is that in service, the average soldier takes his orders and follows orders. Now, an order, the melee massacre, things like this, that's a different situation. Those people are taken care of if it's exposed. You know, there are people, you know, conspiracy theorists who feel that, oh no, the real story, well, they're the free fire zone. And anybody in that free fire zone that didn't have an American uniform on, you shoot. That's not the case. There was no free fire zone where you were told you can shoot every civilian in sight. These are, those are some of the mythology of the Vietnam War.
Well, I think a lot of it's just survival when you get out there. The problem is probably, no matter what the forces are doing, the politicians at home are probably the bigger problem than actually when you're in country fighting.
Yeah, well, that's a common theme, really. You know, there's always that overriding the politics and what is the overall mission. And that is a tough thing that the soldier and the officers leading the soldiers, there's a lot of... there's a lot of diplomacy in war.
Yes. Yeah.
And that goes within your own ranks and within, you know, being able to accomplish the mission. And as Ronald Reagan ultimately said when he awarded Roy the Medal of Honor, before he read the citation, he looked over at the press corps and he said, "The story you're about to hear, if it were a movie script, you would not believe it." He kind of set the whole thing up with that. And then he said, it's been too long. With 1981, he said, it's been too long that too many of these people, and in particular Roy Benavidez, waited to be recognized for this, because we brought a group of men home who did not lose a fight. They were not allowed to win. And I'm paraphrasing there, but that was the gist of it. He recognized that the rules of engagement and some of the things that they were up against were very, let's just say, challenges that they were up against in that war.
Right. And with that, we're going to have to take a break, and we'll continue after the break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Restless hearts, sleep alone tonight, sending all my love along the wire. They say that the road ain't no place to start a family. Right down the line, it's been you and me. Love and a music man ain't always what it's supposed to be. Oh, girl, you stay. I'm forever you.
thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, June 4th in Elements Lounge inside Wind Rivers Resort and Casino. Join me, Linda Vaught, with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and my very special guest, Rick Hill, on guitar. How about some romance on the river with a very special menu? Call for reservations now at 243-3377. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Elements Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, June 4th.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It's Monday, and it's Memorial Day. Let's remember with reverence those who gave their lives to defend our country. Join Vince Stevenson and his guest to find out what's going on right here in River City, including Shannon Smith, who talks about why her group wants to shut down the police range. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. Hey, today, thank a veteran.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
State, and today is the day before Memorial Day, and we're talking about a lot of veterans issues, and gosh darn, some of these books just sound amazing. I can't wait to get out there and buy one and read it here. I'm not sure where to start.
Well, I appreciate that very much. They are available anywhere books are sold in any format, audio, ebook, hardcover, paperback, you name it. So thank you for that.
Oh, very good. We appreciate that.
Well, I think these books ought to be in schools.
We've gotten a lot of that. You know, it's so amazing. It's awesome. It's just the best compliment I can ever get when I get letters from teachers. And there's been a bunch about Adam Brown, who I just told you about, and Fearless, and Roy Benavidez as well, who have said that they have used them in their studies and in their programs. There's a couple of sixth grade classes and fifth grade classes that have a teacher who have told me they have a picture of Adam Brown at the front of their class or by their door, and two of them, and they did not know each other, but they both, it was amazing, different. I cannot remember where they were from. One was from somewhere in Utah and the other one was East Coast, but it said, "Be an Adam Brown today." And that is with a result, and they have the picture of the cover of the book, which is a photo of Adam Brown, and Fearless is the title. So he's become, you know, Fearless Adam Brown, and kids are being told to be an Adam Brown. He was told by his parents at a young age, you know, if you see somebody getting bullied on the playground and you don't do something about it, you're as bad as a bully.
That's
and
right.
That was kind of the way he grew up. And again, he was a little guy at one point. You know, he was always trying to take on the big guys on the varsity football when he was JV, and he was a little guy and would beg the coach to put me in. They had a drill called Blood Alley where they would, you know, face off one-on-one, 3-point stance. Coach blows the whistle and they try and bully each other out of the lane. And he finally, at the end of summer, talked to coaches into doing that, to letting them get in there. And he got knocked backwards and, you know, he got his lunch handed to him. And he turned around, got back up, smacked the turf out of his face mask and said, "Let's do it again." And he went like 4 times. And finally the coach said, "You can't do it again." And he said, the coach I spoke to said, "Adam Brown, as this young JV, taught my whole team more in that 3 minutes about character than we could the entire season."
Yep.
And these are the stories that come out when you really start doing this deep research of some of the individuals. And that was something about Adam Brown that inspires so many people. He was a kid that would always do what's right, even when no one's watching. Except that dark period of his life. But you know what? He did the one thing that, you know, you got to give him credit for. He said he encouraged his family to let the world know that was a part of my past, but I'm not that person anymore.
Well, some people have heart and they rise above it. There's no question about it. I was kind of thinking of the Chris Kyle story where his dad in the movie, you know, and I've heard this before through Luttrell and a few other ones that I've read and looked at is the, you know, there's sheepdogs, there's wolves and there's sheep, you know, and which are you? And a lot of these guys are sheepdogs, you know, they really look at things that way, that it's their job to watch over the flock, kind of, you know, for lack of better way to put things.
Yeah, that is a great analogy, and I've heard it myself as well. Especially I cannot remember the name of the writer who actually came up and documented that in a book. But a lot of guys have read this one individual's snort book that uses that whole mentality on how they in their minds, you know, they're told to kill bad guys,
right?
And how do they deal with that, and then go home and go to their kids' 3-year-old birthday party.
I think they kind of have that ingrained in the budge training with Navy SEALs, I believe, is where that comes from, if I'm not wrong. I could be wrong, I guess. But, yeah, I've heard that several places myself, and it's a good analogy where you go, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, how do you go in and kill people and justify that and live with that, you know, over a long period of time other than, yeah, you're protecting your people.
And then transition back to try to be a normal life when you come back home.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you flip that switch? And I've actually, all the people that I've written about have had that question. And it's interesting. You speak to their friends. Do they ever speak about it? Do they ever talk? Right? Because, you know, these guys aren't necessarily the type to sit around and say, "Well, gosh, how guys?" You know, they don't have their little talks, and they don't have their circle. They don't have their AA meetings for going out and being a special operator. But when you really dig deep and you talk to their friends and family, you realize what ate at them and what has eaten at them, including the ones who are still operating today. They take a lot on their shoulders that we take for granted, and a lot of them just turn around and they become amazing citizens, and they retire and they continue to serve, whether it's being their little league coach for their son or daughter, softball coach, whatever. It's something that's ingrained in them. I think the one single word that really covers it is service. And that's something that we can all aspire to.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on, Eric. We're getting to the top of the hour. They will cut us off, unfortunately,
yep,
at the top of the hour.
No.
It was great having you. We want to have you back in the future, maybe. And we definitely will get your books. You can get them anywhere, if that's correct, so people know out there.
Anywhere books are sold, I appreciate it very much. EricBlehm.com is my website, and EricBlehm.com. I appreciate it very much.
All right, I want to thank you again, and keep up the good work. We appreciate it.
I will do it.
All right, have a great day. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Where Hour 2 of Sovereign Minds comes your way next on KCNR Shasta Reading.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says ISIS takeover of Ramadi a week ago is proof that Iraqi forces, in his words, lack the will to fight. He told CNN today that Iraqi soldiers outnumbered their opponents vastly but ran away anyway. Republican Senator John McCain says U.S. troops are the only answer.
We need to have a robust strategy. We need more troops on the ground. We need forward air controllers.
McCain, a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation, many Democrats and some Republicans disagree with McCain. If negotiators finalize a nuclear agreement with Iran, international inspections could include managed access to military sites. That's the word from an Iranian negotiator, contradicting Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who recently said there would be no international inspection of Iran's military sites. The White House says it's worth it for President Obama to have his own Twitter account, despite some harsh comments by other Twitter users.
Not long after launching his new Twitter account, the president started receiving hateful and racist comments.
Some of them are offensive and disgusting.
But White House spokesman Josh Earnest says using social media is worth it.
This is a valuable tool for us to be able to engage the American public in a legitimate debate and dialogue about priorities that they care about.
Referring to the negative comments, he said we don't have to like it, but it's part of an open society. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Up to 10 inches of rain has fallen in parts of Texas in the last 24 hours, causing numerous evacuations and rescues. Near Houston, high winds damaged rooftops, blew out windows, and injured two people in an apartment complex. In Oklahoma, a firefighter died after being swept away by floodwaters. A tanker truck has exploded and caught fire in Detroit today, prompting authorities to shut down two interstates downtown. State police say they've got to determine the stability of a bridge. This is SRN News.
It seemed like every year we were paying higher premiums with higher deductibles for these complicated health care plans we really couldn't afford to use. Then a friend told us about MediShare. It's Christians across America who share each other's medical bills. We found a family option that was exactly what we were looking for, and the cost savings were amazing. As a family of four, we had been paying $940 a month. Now with MediShare, we pay $420. That's less than half the cost of insurance. Talk about some huge stress relief. MediShare is healthcare that really works.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Britain's opposition Labour Party says it won't try to block a referendum on whether the country should remain in the 28-nation European Union. The party's acting leader, Harriet Harman, offered support for the vote in a commentary in the Sunday Times, a U-turn on Labour's previous stance. The decision removes a potential obstacle to the referendum, which will be held by the end of 2017. Prime Minister David Cameron of the Conservatives campaigned hard for the vote, making it a key policy during the May general election, which the Conservatives won handily. Police in riot gear made numerous arrests as protesters took to Cleveland streets after a judge found a city police officer not guilty in the deaths of two unarmed black suspects. The protests were mostly peaceful in downtown Cleveland last night, mostly in the West Side neighborhoods. The judge said in his written verdict, delivered to a packed courtroom yesterday, that the officer's actions were justified because he believed someone in the car had a gun. This is SRN News. The greater Washington area is still shaken in the wake of the murders of two prominent citizens and their families.
Police say the victims were brutalized and tortured before they were killed. The victims knew their killers, either through work or their neighborhood. The motive appeared to be robbery and greed. Suspects were quickly caught in both cases through scientific detective work. Police urge all to be security conscious and report any suspicious activity. Connie Lawn, SRN News, Washington.
Today is Sunday, May 24th, the 144th day of 2015. There are 221 days left in the year. On this date in 1883, the Brooklyn Bridge linking Brooklyn and Manhattan was dedicated by President Chester A. Arthur and New York Governor Grover Cleveland. And on this date in 1937, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the Social Security Act, which was passed in 1935. More details on these and other stories at srnnews.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Stand
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, we're back with the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio. I hope you're out there having a good Memorial weekend, and you know, everything is going sunshine and lollipops for you out there. You know, we're going to start the second hour with my forte, which is economics. And you know, did anybody notice that this last week the bankers got charged fines of $5.8 billion, and you know, and they all pleaded guilty to felonies. And so it's
and so
not,
what happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we'll start out with this clip. This is our new attorney general. This is Eric Holder with Breasts, Loretta Lynch. And let's see. Let's start there, and then we'll talk about that, and then we'll do the weekly wrap-up with Greg Hunter.
Now, starting as early as 2007, currency traders at several multinational banks formed a group that they dubbed the Cartel. Almost every day, for more than 5 years, traders in this cartel used a private electronic chat room to manipulate the spot market's exchange rate between euros and dollars, using coded language to conceal their collusion. They acted as partners rather than competitors in an effort to push the exchange rate in directions favorable to their banks, but detrimental to many others. Now, the prices the market sets for those currencies influence virtually every sector of every economy in the world. Their actions inflated the bank's profits while harming countless consumers, investors, and institutions around the globe, from pension funds to major corporations, and including the bank's own customers, who placed their faith in the market and relied on it to produce a competitive exchange rate. As a result of our investigation, four of the world's largest banks have agreed to plead guilty to felony antitrust violations. They are Citicorp, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, Barclays PLC, and the Royal Bank of Scotland PLC. These four banks have acknowledged their role in this conspiracy and committed to changing their corporate cultures starting at the highest levels. They've also agreed to pay criminal fines totaling more than $2.5 billion, the largest set of antitrust fines ever obtained in the history of the Department of Justice.
Here's the so wait a minute. Are we conspiracy theorists still, or are we conspiracy factists now? Because I've been told, oh, you're just a conspiracy nut. Well, wait a minute. What if there is a conspiracy? Does that still make me a nut? Now, these guys admitted there's a conspiracy. These guys pleaded in court that they're guilty. You know, nobody's going to jail. I mean.
And where does the government, where's their part in all of this? You know, before they were kind of, you know, holding hands with them.
I don't know. And it seems to be the same old players, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Royal Bank of Scotland. Oh, and there's also, you know, they didn't mention HSBC and all this other stuff. And, you know, so, you know, with that, let's go to Greg Hunter, and we'll go through that weekly wrap up. And then we'll talk some more about this stuff. And the real deal is these guys have rigged all the markets. And so let's hear what Greg has to say.
And listen, here's this headline here. And in the first paragraph of this story, and I'll tell you, the U.S., according to the USA Today, they can't raise rates because, quote, the economy's recent sluggish performance. There is no recovery. And the Fed.
We got to redo that one. We got to start that at night.
There's a little miscommunication, hold on, folks. We'll be right to the top of the story.
Okay, we're ready to go. We had a little technical difficulty there. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the WNW 191, the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, May 22nd, 2015, and the banks have done it again. They've committed massive global fraud and have cut a deal where nobody goes to jail and they just pay fines. And listen, folks, this is making it on the front page of USA Today. Brazen banks to fork over $5 billion in FX fines. Actually, it's a little closer to $6 billion, $5.8 billion. Some reports have it at $5.8 billion total between all these big banks. There's a picture of the banks involved. I mean, Barclays, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, UBS, RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, Union Bank of Switzerland. All these banks are involved in some way, shape, or form with the Forex market, rigging the currency market, the Forex market. This is a $5.8 billion total fine, according to one report, in a market that trades at about $5.3 trillion market a day. $5.3 trillion a day market. And these banks have agreed to settle criminal charges, but nobody goes to jail. They avoided criminal prosecution. So the bank is now convicted. So J.P. Morgan, the bank, is now a felon. Citigroup is now a felon. Not the people running it, but the banks are criminals. According to this, I mean, no person is a criminal. Nobody got a criminal charge. And they're paying all these, the banks are paying all these fines, which means shareholders are paying the fines. Shareholders are paying the fines. I talked to my friend Gregory Manorino at TradersChoice.net. He was a former floor trader at Bear Stearns. And he put this into perspective for me. He said, this is nearly $6 billion in a market that's a $5.3 trillion a day market. I said, amen to that, brother. But then he brought in this, and he says, listen, this is a show. This is like a little kabuki time. And here's his quote. There is a need to keep confidence in the financial system. So there's a need to make it look like, there's a cop on the beat. When in fact, it's lawless. And these fines are a diddly squat. He said, you pay over $6 billion. What do they base that fine on? Of course, they don't say what they based it on. He says, for all you know, they could have made $600 billion between them doing this. This is a $5.3 trillion a day market. And once again, this time they did get some criminal charges. The banks did. No individuals did. The banks did. So I guess a Citigroup can't own a firearm now. I guess J.P. Morgan Chase, the bank, can't vote anymore. That's how ludicrous this is. It's absolutely outrageous that nobody goes to jail. And, guess what? And here's another one. Incidentally, in the last story, UBS avoided criminal prosecution because they were a whistleblower and they cooperated with the Justice Department, right? Well, guess what's going to happen for UBS once again? And this time it's in the gold and silver market. UBS shielded from charges in U.S. precious metals probe. What do you think that spells out? This is the same type of thing that happened with the Forex charges. Before the Forex charges, UBS came out and said, we'll tell you everything we know. But we have to agree not to charge us criminally. And here we are again with the gold and silver market, precious metals market, and they're going to do a criminal probe on this, and UBS is going to be their point bank on this. I almost said point person, but, in this case, they're going to be the point person. And it wasn't that long ago that if you talked about the rigging of the gold market, people just went crazy. Tinfoil hat. Oh, you're crazy. Oh, the rigging gold mark, gold and silver aren't rigged. Well, a lot of evidence that shows they are rigged, and we're going to get the crescendo case here with the Justice Department and UBS rolling over and all their buddies and blowing the whistle on the rigging of the precious metals market, gold and silver market. And this is why I'm leading with this instead of the Middle East, which I'm going to talk about, and all the other stuff. You got to grasp this. Okay? So UBS was also involved, along with some of these other big banks and some other ones, were involved in the LIBOR rate rigging case. That's, you know, the London Interbank Offered Rate, where they set hundreds of trillions of interest rates off the LIBOR. They paid fines, and they also had, and it talks about it, you know, in this story here, about having a no prosecution deal, you know, for the LIBOR thing, and they have a no prosecution deal, you know, with this Forex case. And this is reported on the front page of the newspaper. The LIBOR thing also was widely reported. So let's see. You've got the currency market's rigged. Okay, so that means the dollar's rigged. That means in part the U.S. bond market's rigged. That you have the LIBOR market, the interest rate market, which means that helps all interest rates, including the U.S. Treasury market. That's rigged. So LIBOR, rigged. Forex currency markets, rigged. Gold and silver, just count it, rigged. That means the stock market, if interest rates were allowed to vault higher, the stock market would plummet. That's rigged, in part. That's certainly rigged. So the commodities market, I had Chris Powell from Getta on here saying, you know, in the 10K in 2013, that they said they gave volume discounts to central banks. Volume discounts to trade in the commodities markets. That's rigged. So grasp this, folks. This is stuff that is reported in the mainstream press. One fine after another, and nobody in the White House press corps, nobody in the USA Today, nobody in the money section says, hey, what gives? Why not any criminal prosecutions? What's going on? I mean, what do you have to do to go to jail? You can launder money for drug cartels, no jail time. You can launder money for countries on the terror list, the state sponsor of terror list, that'd be Iran. That'd be other countries, no jail time. Forex market rigging, no jail time. LIBOR rigging, no jail time. Gold and silver rigging, no jail time. No jail time. How screwed up and how tenuous and how fragile does the global financial system have to be to be propped up by massive fraud? Let that sink in, folks. Massive fraud documented in mainstream press, and it's a pay a fine. Oh, pff, that's okay. Yeah, just a fine. You know, J.P. Morgan, the bank itself, is a criminal. RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, the bank, not any of the people in it, just the bank's a criminal. Citigroup, a criminal bank, a criminal, just but nobody in it. How fragile do things have to be for all the markets to be propped up by fraud? Rob Kirby came out this week, and when you first heard it, you think, oh, what, huh? And he says, the markets are a crime scene. All the markets are a crime scene. Yep. Yes. Yes. They are. All the markets are a provable crime scene. If things are that criminal and that out of whack, huh, what could go wrong? And the answer is everything. Here's another story, same newspaper, and we've been have this idea about there's a recovery crammed down our throats. There is no real recovery, and when you talk about raising interest rates, they can't. I've had guest after guest after guest, including Greg Mannarino. I've had multiple. They can't raise rates. They can't raise. They raise rates, they're going to crash the economy. So here's the story on the front page. Look at the way they spun this. USA Today. June, rate solid, Fed hints. Oh, yeah, like this is a positive story. The economy is so good that they can't raise interest rates. And listen, here's this headline here. And in the first paragraph of this story, and I'll tell you, the U.S., according to the USA Today, they can't raise rates because, quote, the economy's recent sluggish performance. There is no recovery. And the Fed knows it. They know there is no recovery. And in order for you to have near 0% Fed funds rate and all this this fraudulent rigging of every market there is, there's no, to prop it up, there's no recovery. Things are not recovering. It'd be one thing if all this, money printing and market rigging was actually making the market take off. Oh, incidentally, the housing market, if the LIBOR rate's rigged, that's another market that's rigged, the housing market. Let me just throw that in there.
How every market is rigged. That's how they set 30-year mortgages in some cases, that the LIBOR market, and also the Treasury market. But still, you rig LIBOR, everything else kind of falls in line, doesn't it? And so there is no recovery. And all these problems around the world have a financial basis to them, a lack of resources. The money's sour, the resources are scarce. So this is all a fight over money and resources and the economy, whether it's Ferguson. These people are angry because they don't have any money. Look at Baltimore. That whole anger is going on because people aren't doing well financially. And then we want to blame it on the police. The people that did this, as I've been saying, the bankers, the politicians know this is going on. Don't think for one minute the politicians on every continent don't know this is going on. They know what's going on. And then we have to find some scapegoat. Oh, we're going to indict 6 police officers in Baltimore. They're going to have an awful hard time convicting those folks, I think. I mean, I'm not saying they did everything right, but they're going to have you're going to find out it's not going to be an easy conviction, even though they just got a grand jury to press charges on these 6 police officers, half of which are black. Baltimore is run by Democrats. The mayor, the police chief, the prosecutor, black, Democrat, all of them. So it can't be the Republicans, and it can't be racism. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough deal, but all this stuff comes back to a negatively spiraling downward economic situation, not just here in America, but around the world. And listen, a crisis was averted off the coast of Yemen. The Iranians have yielded to UN inspections of a cargo ship bringing humanitarian relief to the Houthis in Yemen. And Saudi Arabia was saying that they're going to attack that ship. A few weeks ago, when they sent a cargo ship with, humanitarian aid, the U.S. was going to board it or sink it or something. They sent an entire carrier group to intercept this ship. So they were serious. And now the Iranians have decided to yield to U.N. inspection. So hopefully crisis averted. But not so good in the rest of Iraq, I'll tell you that. Here's a headline out of Iraq, and I'm surprised they were this bold. Ramadi rout shows limited U.S. Advisory status. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're doing, about a couple of bombing missions a day, when if we're really serious, we'd be doing 800 to 1,000 a day, according to a lot of the military people I've heard talk on television, that, this is not working. Ramadi, gone. Poof. Bye. Another headline, Islamic State, this is that's in Iraq, this is in Syria, Islamic State, ancient town of Palmyra, that's in Syria. And of course, you know what they do to the archaeological and all the the precious, priceless antiquities. They take a sledgehammer to them or blow them up with explosives or whatever. That's another, the policy is failing. Failing for the U.S. and the Obama administration and for the what's left of the Iraqi government, but it's working for ISIS because, retreating Iraqi forces abandon U.S. equipment, like Humvees and tanks and ammunition and weapons, and they get resupplied right there on the battlefield. But, President Obama, who gave a speech to the Coast Guard graduates this week, you know what his number one priority is? I kid you not, folks. Here's the headline. Yep, warming, global warming is his top security threat. Climate change. Yep, got to do something now, according to him. That's his words. We have to do something now, fast, now. Got to do it now. Not that they're beheading and killing people in Iraq and Syria and we've got all this strife, with Yemen and war with Saudi Arabia going after Al-Qaeda offshoot and also the Houthis, which they're scared to death of because they are partial to the Iranians. It's a huge total mess. And then we find out this week that after the bin Laden raid, that they got some major intelligence, where they whacked Osama bin Laden. They got all kinds of documents. One report, more than 1 million documents. And there's a lot of stuff in there released. Some of the stuff we found out was pretty shocking. I mean, stunning that we found out that Iran, which is Shia, has according to these bin Laden documents, has a major alliance built up with Al-Qaeda, Sunni, what? Excuse me?
The documents have documented proof that Al-Qaeda is teamed up with Iran. The Sunnis have teamed up with the Shia, the Iranians. What? Are you kidding me? But here's how the USA Today told us. This was their big headline on the front page. I mean, this is almost laughable. Bin Laden bookshelf, love stories and a study in vanity. You got to be kidding me, folks. A study in vanity? A love story? I mean, the headline should have read here. I've got something written down right here. The headline should have read, Bin Laden intel shows Iran, Al-Qaeda working together for years. How about that? How about that for a headline? Bin Laden intel shows Iran and Al-Qaeda working together for years. I'll tell you one thing. I think the Iranians are just about as nutty as the U.S. Why? Well, think about this. Now, I've been telling you how the U.S. is against the Iranians in Syria, and we're backing, the moderate rebels, which in part Al-Qaeda, and this Al-Qaeda is an offshoot that created ISIS, and now the Iranians are fighting ISIS, and we're helping the Iranians with bombing missions and sorties, not many of them, but we're helping the Iranians fight ISIS, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, but the Iranians, they're working with Al-Qaeda, and they're fighting ISIS, and they're working with the Houthis in Yemen, but yet they're supporting Al-Qaeda, and there's Al-Qaeda in Yemen, which is this big, three-way going on between Saudi Arabia, Al-Qaeda, and offshoot of Al-Qaeda, and the Houthi rebels, and they're just as crazy as we are, and it's just as convoluted. But wouldn't this have been nice to have been out there for the American public to digest, to say, wait a minute, you're cutting a nuclear deal with Iran, and you've known for years with this Bin Laden intel that they have an alliance with Al-Qaeda? Huh? What? And the newspaper, makes it out like, oh, Bin Laden had some love letters. Look, folks, if you just read this, if you just read the headline, you think, oh, isn't that sweet? Osama Bin Laden had a sweet side to him. He loved one of his wives, and that was the apple of his eye, and that was so sweet and beautiful and pretty. Unbelievable. Talk about a lie by omission. Finally, I just want to bring up this. China is once again warning the U.S. to back off. This time, a U.S. spy plane was warned several times to leave, to go. The spy plane, of course, is flying surveillance missions in what has always been known as international waters. But China now says a big chunk of the South China Sea, it belongs to China. And they're building islands out there, with sand. They're building bases in the middle of the South China Sea. And we've got ships in the area. We've had a spy plane, I'm sure, taking photographs and gathering intelligence of what they're doing. That they're telling us to back off. Now, this is a large creditor. I said it was the biggest. I think Japan has edged them out. Still, they're a big U.S. creditor. What would happen if we got into it? Would they just sell all those treasury bonds? Would we just default on all those treasury bonds? What do you think would happen with all this fraud propping up the economy? It'd be poof to the financial system. Thank you very much for supporting USA Watchdog. I appreciate that. Thank you for your comments. That really makes the site. And your donations. They help us greatly. I'm Greg Hunter. Fear not. Prepare yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually. Fear not, folks. God's in charge.
Well, there we have it with the weekly wrap-up. There's a lot of stuff there to chew on. And, God, does anybody out there believe anything that the mainstream media tells them anymore? How could you possibly believe anything they say? Or if you do, whatever they say, I mean, is it spun? Is it twisted? Are they covering
up?
Don't you have
a few questions about what they're telling you?
Yeah, Fox News, obtains documents showing that weapons are going from Benghazi to Syria. Really? So that was what it was all about. Anyway, let's go to a break real quick, and we'll come back, and we'll dissect it even more.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
Feeling there's something right. thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the vitamin shop.
Howdy folks, Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I guess we're just haters here because I guess if you tell the truth now, you're a hater. Is that how it works? You know, we're into the truth. You know, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's.
Now, there you go, looking outside the box again.
I know.
You know, we can't be looking outside the box.
Paradigm shift in, you know, can't be doing that paradigm shift stuff. That might make you actually an independent thinker and, can't have that. Yeah, they did a study on I was watching Brain Games where they would come in and there a lady sits down at the – she's going to get an eye exam and a bell rings and everybody stands up and she's sitting there and the bell rings and pretty soon the bell rings and she stands up too, has no idea why. And they go through this experiment and it shows that people just go along with the program.
I don't know why everybody else is doing it, so it must be okay.
Yeah, it's like Pavlov's, it's a good thing they weren't ringing the bell and having everybody salivate, you know, I mean, cause, what are you slobbering for? I don't know. They just rang a bell.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem, what's going on in America today.
Don't move the bell. I'll be in trouble if you do.
We got the guys that are just salivating when the bell rings, and then we got the guys that are not paying attention to anything, and they're going to get blindsided. So there's, you know, there's several people in this world. There's people who watch things happen, people who make things happen, and people who wonder what happened, which are you. So with that, I guess we have Charles.
Charles on the line? Yeah. Good morning, Charles.
Yes, good morning.
What can we do for you?
Oh, here to talk about the other side of the story of RU's little, perestroika plan.
The rest of the story?
Yeah, what they don't tell you.
Ah.
Once again.
Tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me.
Now, Barry Tippin, when he was interviewed a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
If you had never seen the PowerPoint that RU had put together, if all that you had been aware of was either David Benda's Twitter account or that little press release that RU put out a few days ago, you wouldn't know a thing about what the new rates supposedly were proposed to be. And if you had just listened to Barry Tippin's interview, you would have gotten the impression that the rates would go, that the measured rate portion of the bill would go down to only a few cents per kilowatt hour.
Well, let me stop you there, Charles. Who's Barry Tippin? And
he's the current REU director.
Okay, and where was this interview at? I missed this.
Free Fire Radio.
Oh, this last week on Carl's show?
Yeah, midweek.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Now, I just wanted to, let everybody get up to speed because I wasn't sure where you were at and where you were going.
Right. Well, after the interview, I managed to find a copy of that PowerPoint, and I looked and I found out what the new measured rate would be, which is actually only 2.97 cents less than the current rate. And incidentally, just to give you in context, we've come out of a season of four successive rate hikes of 7.84% per year. Well, what the rates were before all that is less than what the measured rate would be under the new plan. So the rates aren't really being lowered by that much. However, the meter charge is being more than tripled. Now, in order to break even under this plan, in order for a person's bill to not be going up under this plan, they have to use they have to use 977 kilowatt hours per month every month. Now, after all this talk about us being told, we're supposed to conserve and save energy, and that, anything more than 600 kilowatt hours per resident is excessive, yada, yada. And then here they turn around and do this, and they try to create the impression that the measured rate is going to go way down when it's not. And at the same time, they're putting a bunch of feel-good ads on the radio and elsewhere featuring different linemen, et cetera, who are trying to create warm, fuzzy feelings about REU at the same time that this plan to hike everybody's bill is going up.
Hmm.
So once again, the people are getting caught with their pants down, so to speak.
Pretty much.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our REU. Guys.
Yeah, I was thinking of another soap opera, As the Stomach Turns.
Well, there you have it. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things going on down there at the city these days. I heard something about a few things. Somebody's got in trouble with the Brown Act as well. I'm not real clear on what happened there at this point.
I haven't really looked into it that deeply myself, but it sounds like they're trying to. It sounds like a bunch of people on the council want to punish a whistleblower.
Right. I think it's going to kind of backfire on them. Is what it sounded like. Sounded like somebody was actually talking about criminal charges the last time I heard. So we'll stay tuned.
Well, a letter has been sent to the district attorney's office asking for a criminal investigation.
I see. Hmm. Interesting.
Well, I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, nothing happens at the big time level. Maybe we can do something at the local level with
if
it's warranted. If they are truly guilty of a crime, they should be prosecuted.
I guess we'll stay tuned.
We'll stay tuned on that.
Investigate the whistleblower, but when it comes to anybody investigating the people on whom the whistle is being blown, it's like, oh no, we can't do that.
Yeah,
we got to be positive.
Right. Right.
We have to be positive. After all, look at the water slide.
Yeah, and we don't want to worry about those silly campaign promises. Those are,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, thanks for the update and letting us know what's going on down there at REU. Once again, they're telling us one thing, and it sounds like it's totally the opposite.
Of course.
Oh, okay. Well.
The propaganda doesn't tell the full story. Needless to say.
Sure, absolutely.
Never does.
All right, Charles. Well, hey, have a great Memorial Weekend, and we'll talk
to
you soon.
Thanks right. again.
You bet. Okay, so, wow, it's just never ending. I mean, take your pick. What level of politics isn't corrupt, I guess, at this point, all the way up to who knows where. We got the Hillary Clinton stuff. She personally took money for companies that sought her influence. No, say it could never happen.
Right.
Anybody that believes that the Clintons aren't corrupt needs their head examined. There's how much evidence do you need? Nobody goes to jail. Nothing ever happens. What difference does it make? You look at the Senate. What happened in the Senate on the fast track vote on the TPP, and so all of a sudden Mitch McConnell is siding with Obama to get the 60 votes. I mean, what's going on? I mean, does anybody wonder why?
They wouldn't be attending the same dance, would they?
Oh no, they're not all in it together. And it's the Republicans against the Democrats. This is all George Bush's fault. George Bush did this, and blah 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 blah. And it's Obama did that, and it couldn't be that they're all kind of working together at the top to.
Yeah, what's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats at this point?
Well, not a lot when you consider the policies with regards to international banking and international cartels and international control of money and things like that. Wow.
I guess we have Billy Bob on the line from Palo Cedro. Hey. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. Hey, listen, Charles prompted my call in this REU debacle and this outrage. But what he forgot to mention, and also the press releases did not mention, but I did hear this, and I'm not sure if it's correct. So correct me if I'm wrong, but... residential users go from $13 to $43, as Charles was saying. But commercial, heavy industrial users in the city of Reading goes from $39 a month to $625 a month.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That is for commercial users, so they're 2 cents a kilowatt hour discount or whatever they're offering as a little pledge for support is nothing. If you're a commercial user, you went from $39 to have a meter hooked to your building to $625. Now, if anybody knows anything different, let me know. But I heard that on a different radio newscast, and I haven't seen anything in the paper, so I'm not certain of it. But,
well, maybe somebody listening or us can do some research on that and get back to everybody next week, because that's
That'll be good for the local economy. That'll prop up the pilot program problem.
Oh. Yeah, all the businesses will be moving back in here at that rate.
Oh yeah, that'll get us a lot of industry back here. Yeah, okay,
recovery.
Yeah, rest recovery. Thanks, great show, you guys.
All right,
thanks for calling in.
Yeah, and the recovery continues. If we say recovery enough, maybe it'll be Bush's fault.
Unbelievable.
That's my gosh.
But yeah. The businesses aren't leaving fast enough, so they're going to just, push on the gas pedal at that, if that's true. Wow.
Yeah, hey, it's just all big crazy. It's all crazy train, right? Nobody knows. It's all crazy train. It couldn't be that we've got a corrupt bunch of politicians that are running the show at all levels.
It couldn't be a couple of twisted sisters in there, huh?
And a complacent apathetic citizenry who's sitting around wondering why, their television is, not on, as opposed to why they're not down there monitoring their government officials and doing the right thing and worrying about all the giveaways that they can get and all of the freebies and the cheese and, who moved my cheese and where's mine? And as opposed to, gee, why aren't we free anymore?
Yeah.
Well,
I think we need to go to a break first, Bob, or do we need to take the caller? Can we take the caller?
Let's go to the break.
We've got Terry. Why do we take Terry when we come back from the break?
Oh, yeah, take
okay,
a quick break
hold on, Terry. We're going to take a quick break. Again, if you want to call in and you have a comment or question, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
They call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
If you are running your own business, already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Now, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It's Monday and it's Memorial Day. Let's remember with reverence those who gave their lives to defend our country. Join Vince Stevenson and his guest to find out what's going on right here in River City, including Shannon Smith, who talks about why her group wants to shut down the police range. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. Hey, today, thank a veteran.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine. Just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this refrain goes. So come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way. When you're in love, to stay.
Oh, that puts such a smile on your face, doesn't it?
That was for Terry. That was for Terry. It's all about Terry. Sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops, Terry.
It is.
Good morning.
Oh, warm and fuzzy,
hey,
fuzzy
another
now.
Show. Another great show.
Thanks. What's up, Terry?
Well, I wanted to just add on to what Charles was saying. This morning in the Record Searchlight, the editorial, which is losing sight of priorities downtown, I want to read you a little excerpt of this because they hit the nail on the head. And as everyone knows, you know, and it was stated that, I guess, there's been a letter sent to the district attorney to criminally look into whether the Brown Act was violated. Well, this is just one little caption. I recommend everybody read that editorial. McNeil has told the council he knows for a fact a decision was made in the closed session and then was not reported publicly afterward. The Brown Act allows closed sessions to deal with threat litigation, but requires that any decision made in such a session must immediately after be reported to the public. Mayor Francie Sullivan is most concerned that someone in the room talked to McNeil. She calls it a crime. Then there's the matter of Sullivan's oddly Clinton-esque private email server, which has been used as a pretext for refusing to disclose her correspondence with downtown businesses. She said in open session, and I heard her, as many people did, there were 26 of them that wrote her in opposition of the DRBA, but the city has declined to provide those records when requested by Vin Stevenson. Sullivan maintains that the emails are personal because they weren't sent to her in her capacity as mayor, but wasn't she the one who, sitting as mayor, brought them into the debate in open session to the folks?
What an idiot.
And are we truly to believe that 26 business people downtown just happened to send a personal message to their friend, Francie, who happens to be the mayor, at the same time this whole business is being debated?
And I guess the fact that they're talking about it doesn't matter.
Well, the point is even the Record Searchlight, and I'll say yes, even the Record Searchlight came up with this. Francie Sullivan is out of control. I'm not really sure what the story is, but she's a bit out of control on this stuff. You can't sit there in open session and say, gosh, you know, 26 people who want to remain anonymous were so concerned they call me, what, is their friend or is the mayor?
How do you spell dementia? I'm not sure.
I was going to say she never had control.
You know, the thing is that, you know, even with your part about the banks, I mean, Mark, I'm so disgusted, as I know you are and probably most Americans are, with how the bankers get away with what they get away with, the government gets away with what they get away with. I mean, literally, you know, people in government, Hillary Clinton arguably gets away with treason, murder. I mean, all this stuff, it's just insanity.
It is.
At what point, I mean, folks, it's not getting off the couch. It's maybe
well,
it's maybe more than that.
It might be more than that. Absolutely. You know, the problem is, Terry, the pain train's coming whether we like it or not. And I'll tell you, I don't know.
Well, I think the pain train here is already here for people who realize what's going on. I mean, as far as mentally, I mean, you already know that, you know, the other stuff is, we already know what's happening with the economy and what a mess that is.
Sure. But the problem is we are allowing it to happen.
Well, but you know, really and truly, I'm not allowing it to happen. You're not allowing it to
happen.
Yeah,
but I mean, over time, we've gotten ourselves in this position. Now it's time that we need to, we need to stand up and change it now.
Well, listen,
not fall asleep anymore.
Listen, very quickly, we have another caller on the line, Lori. We've only got about 5 minutes left. Let's get her in here and see what she has to say, and then we'll go from there. Lori, are you there?
Oh,
no. We got her. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning. Thank you so much for sharing the Greg Hunter segment. I think I need to go back and listen to it several times and take notes. My main question was with regard to precious metals.
Yes.
Mark, do you have any different, opinion or assessment on what Greg was sharing as far as I know you were on another radio show a couple weeks back suggesting that individuals look into that, and I'm just wanting to, because I'm not in the field.
My suggestion is anybody who can get their hands on any physical metal to protect their wealth from being taken apart at the seams through market crashes and this paper devaluation, get it. Make sure it's physical. But we're going to see a huge uptake in the metals at some point because you can't manipulate the market like they've done and not have repercussions, just like you can't manipulate the stock market and prop it up and not have a crash.
Oh, God, this has just been on the wall for so long.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate your program so much. So
very good.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Lori. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you calling in.
All right, you too. Okay, very good. Terry, you still there?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, that's you're right. Food too, buddy, right? Food.
I would be, you know, food and lead would probably be my first priority if I started out tomorrow.
Yeah, who knows what a can of raviolis will be worth, huh?
That's right, you know. I mean, you know, when you're out in the yard and it's a gun slinging at the OK Corral over a can of raviolis, you know you're in trouble, you know. It's, you know, there's a little bit of a wah, wah, wah in the background, you know. It's like, I don't know. I mean, who knows where we're going here, but, you know, this is a crazy train. And anybody who thinks that this is going to be a smooth landing is not paying attention. We all need to be, you know, looking at this and being realistic and truthful about what is happening here, because otherwise you're going to get blindsided and pretending nothing's happening here or not paying attention or burying your head in the sand is not going to be good.
Boy, is that the truth. You know, and I think a lot of people, again, it's the type of thing, like Lori, who just called in.
Yep.
Well, what should I do? You know, and you gave her some advice on what to do. And I think we're getting to, at least with a lot more people, to that phase of what do we do at this point?
I mean, how long have I been saying that there's manipulation in the precious metals market, Terry? What, 5-6 years now?
But it's insane how bad it is. Okay, I mean, it's totally insane how bad it is.
I guess until it comes out in a USA News report. You know, same for the government, all this stuff. Oh, we're just tinfoil hats 5-6 years ago. But, you know, it's not that we're saying that we're all the smartest guys in the room as much as we're saying we were just the ones that were paying attention. Now people are starting to pay attention a little bit more because it's affecting them personally.
And it's never too late to get involved.
It's always going to be the thing where people are going to say, well, what do we do now? Well, one of the things you do is get involved in your local government. Locally is where we have to go, folks.
Yep.
And all this stuff that's going on with city council, I mean, they've managed, to offend everyone. I think the paper even said that. They've managed to offend just about everybody. These guys are out of control.
Yep.
And using methods of it doesn't matter what the people want or what the people say, we're going to do whatever we want to do.
Right.
And I think that's got to stop, and it's got to stop immediately.
Well,
and that's one thing we can do something about. You know, we talk a lot about worldwide and the federal and so forth and the levels, and we can't really do anything at those levels, but we sure can at our local level.
Well,
what they're doing, too, is it's kind of, you know, you see a lot of people who were riding the fence, and a lot of people who ride the fence, well, you know, we want to be fair to everybody and ride the fence and all that sort of stuff. Well, now you're seeing a lot of those people who are riding the fence are now being affected by what this city council's doing and what the city's doing and what the county's doing, and we aren't having fence riders anymore. There's a lot of people that are working together that would have never worked together 5 years ago.
Well, and start supporting the state of Jefferson. Start supporting the groups that are involved and learning. We've got that training coming up here on how to be politically active and politically effective. And so there's just a lot of things that people need to, get up off the couch, quit worrying about strawberry shortcake, and start, supporting and signing those declarations for the state of Jefferson. I mean, you know, those are the kind of things that have a huge impact. Showing up to the meetings, putting pressure on these guys and voting them out, and quit paying, quit buying into the rainbows and lollipop crap commercials. Really see what these people are about when you vote them in.
Well, I think that's true. And The shallow campaign promises, things like that. I mean, part of it is that when you're raising a family and you're out there, and I'm not trying to make an excuse because people need to be diligent, but when people are out now just not telling you that they're going to do something and do the complete opposite, that's a difficult thing to handle.
We're going to get cut off. We're at the top of the hour. Sorry, Terry. We only have a couple seconds left before they do it.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
In one of the strongest statements by an Obama administration official, Defense Secretary Ash Carter says, ISIS' successful takeover of Ramadi a week ago is evidence that Iraqi troops don't have the will to fight. But are U.S. troops the answer? Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff says no.
I think we have to make sure that we don't react the wrong way to that threat. And we could aggravate it by sending a lot of American troops in. And there's a particular risk of escalation if we do.
He was a guest on CBS TV this morning. Carter offered his comments to CNN. Flooding overnight in Texas and Oklahoma has led to numerous evacuations and rescues, including some of residents stranded on rooftops and in attics. More rain is on the way, too.
With a trough of low pressure out in the west, centered, whether it's the Great Basin, Southwest, Four Corners region, it's just continuing to pump southwesterly.